This is ACC Nation.
Okay, Chris, last week we talked about Van Halen, and I said, man, I'd love to go see Van Halen. I was trying to make myself sound cool. Van Halen would be great. But you know what? I think I finally came to the realization this week that I'm not cool. Because here's the tickets I'm trying to get. Hannah Montana. You familiar with Hannah Montana?
I know who Hannah Montana is.
Hannah Montana is the Disney Channel star for teens and preteens. She's like big. She's like 13 or 14 or something. Billy Ray Cyrus. That's his daughter. That's, you know, that's how old people know who she is.
That's right.
Billy Ray Cyrus, the achy breaky heart guy, that's his daughter.
He's still alive.
And yeah, he's still alive. And she has a show on Disney, and her name is Miley Cyrus, but her show is Hannah Montana. Anyway, my daughter's a huge fan. A huge fan.
Actually, haven't you become one? I mean, I understand.
I like it. I like the show.
I understand that you've been caught watching the show just when there's no kids around.
Well, let me tell you, switching from Hannah Montana quickly about that, the other night, High School Musical 2, that was on. That's the big thing about teens this summer. High School Musical was great last year, and High School Musical 2 is going to be out. Well, my daughter was at the beach with her grandparents. So it was supposed to debut Friday night, so she was going to watch it at the beach. So I'm standing in the bedroom. I turn the TV on, and there it was. And I'm watching it. And my wife comes in, and she says, "What are you doing?" I'm watching High School Musical 2. Now, I like that stuff. That's good. Hannah Montana's great. But she's going to be in Washington, D.C. sometime in the beginning of next year. And I thought, you know, I should get tickets and take my daughter. So see, I want to take my daughter to see her. But, yeah, I don't mind Hannah Montana. Here's the really bad part. My wife is a high school teacher. And she was talking to her students the end of last year about iPods and so forth. And she was saying, my husband has an iPod. And they were asking what kind of music and all this stuff. And she said, you know, I don't know why she said this. She said, he really would like to get some Hannah Montana songs.
Oh, gosh.
She said they all just burst out laughing.
Yeah.
So, see, I can't even step foot in that high school anymore because I just look like a big dweeb, which I am.
I
don't like people to really know that.
That's
part
true.
About me.
But you're cool with the middle school set.
I'm really in with the middle school. In fact, my daughter said if she ever won tickets, she was trying to win tickets to go see some High School Musical thing. She said she would take me because I know all the stuff that goes about it. She would
there you go.
Take me over my wife. So, anyway, coming up on the show today, Chris, we're going to review the quarterback battles in the ACC. We're going to preview Georgia Tech and Miami football. That's all coming up. We've got around ACC Nation, the Sound and the Fury. All kinds of other stuff. The quarterback battle, that's what I'm interested in. Have any of these teams made decisions? We'll find out. We'll actually talk to the writers that cover these teams. Keep it here. You're listening to ACC Nation.
This is ACC Nation with Patrick and Chris. This is ACC Nation. The nation's hottest multimedia sports franchise, ACC Nation, where you'll find worldwide access to America's hottest sports conference, the ACC, through our website, blogs, podcasts, radio, and at myspace.com/ACC Nation. Now, ACC Nation with Patrick Height and Chris Graham.
Busy show today, Chris. Coming up on ACC Nation, we're gonna take a look at the quarterback battles. There are several teams, by our count, five teams that actually have battles. We're going to talk with four writers. We're going to talk to Heather Denich of the Baltimore Sun. She'll talk about the Maryland Terrapins. We'll talk to Pete Yannity. He is the voice of the Clemson Tigers, and he's a friend of the nation. So we'll talk to him about Cullen Harper and Willie Korn. Andrew Carter, the Orlando Sentinel, going to break down the FSU battle. Drew Weatherford, Xavier Lee, who's it going to be? And J.C. Zimbel of the Wolfpacker.com. He's going to talk about the Wolfpack. Daniel Evans, Harrison Beck, Justin Burke battling for that job. So we'll talk to those four. Plus Miami's the other team, and we'll talk about that as well. So,
and we're previewing Miami and Georgia Tech this week. And a couple of notes about our cast there. Okay, Heather Denich rhymes with spinach, as we found out when we talked to her a little bit earlier as we taped that interview. Fred Terp gives us some recommendations there as far as what to talk to her about and what not to.
Well, you know, Fred said, don't – he criticized – Fred Terp is a listener, and if you go to our ACCNation.com, he's actually posted on there. And he said to avoid talking about massages. He actually listened to our podcast a couple of weeks ago where we talked about the massage I got. And he said, if you talk about anything like that, she's going to hang up on you. But we found out that's not the case.
But, you know, this was – we've talked about – I mean, we spent a lot of time on the show already talking about High School Musical and Hannah Montana.
You know, when it was funny. Fred Terp posted a comment saying that I think he was saying it was nonsense. He said – I think his exact quote was something like that massage nonsense that you talked about. And I wanted to respond back. 90% of this show is nonsense.
Yeah.
Pretty much. If you ever listen to this show, you don't get very much stuff that's not
nonsense. Well, the other 10% is random stuff. So
you have no sense.
No,
so.
No.
So anyway, that's all coming up on the show.
Andrew from the Orlando Sentinel, I want to give the other note there. First time that we have somebody from the Orlando Sentinel in the post-Emily Badger era.
We love Emily Badger. She was, you know, we try not to play favorites here, but Emily Badger covered the Florida State Seminoles. We loved Emily Badger. And she's now, she went to France.
She's in Paris.
I think.
Yeah.
And so that's it. She just gave up her job and left France for like 6 months.
I guess she's spending time in hostels. She's backpacking, whatever.
Either that or she made a lot of money in journalism that we have never found.
Gosh, yeah. There's not a lot of money in journalism.
Well, she made it all, apparently, because she was able to take it and leave for France. But yeah, Andrew Carter's going to join us. J.C. Zimbel, this is his first time too. He's new with the Wolfpacker.com, so we're breaking in all kinds of new people. Luckily, we got Pete Yannity. He's the backbone.
That's
he's been on the show a lot. He knows how we work.
He's a grizzle veteran. Maybe what he can do is gather the newbies, you know, get them in a huddle and say, here's how you do it, kids.
That's right. Yeah, just avoid asking them anything where they'll talk nonsense. Yeah, that's what they'll tell them. So that's all coming up, and then we will have the two more previews, as Chris mentioned. And then next week, Chris, two more previews, and that's it. We'll be done with the previews, and games will start, and we can finally get away from the nonsense a little bit because we can actually talk about football games.
We'll talk nonsense about those football games, though, honestly.
Time now for Around ACC Nation, and here's the deal, Chris. Every morning you go to accnation.com, we search the papers, we search high, and we search low, and we search in the middle. Any story about ACC teams, former ACC players, future ACC players. Maybe they're talking about high schoolers that have decided to go to an ACC school. If there's a story about them, we will link to it on accnation.com, and you can check it out. We like to call it Around ACC Nation. How long did it take us to come up with that title?
45 seconds.
Yeah, because it took us to come up with a book title. Not about you. It took us like three or 4 months,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, that was a fun exercise. Yeah. We'd spend hours sitting there and say, well, what's the book title going to be?
So,
it ended up being, what, three words?
That's right. Mad About You. We might as well plug that while we're at it. If you want to buy it, you can still go to accnation.com and do that.
We got plenty of them sitting right here. They're all looking at us.
We'll be happy to send them out. You want to buy a whole box full of them, we'll probably give you a discount.
They'll give you a discount, indeed.
Just email accnation@comcast.net, and we'll give you details. Around ACC Nation, Chris, I guess the big story this week, Miami leaving the Orange Bowl. You know, there's a lot of fans down there that are upset, but let's face it. The Orange Bowl was a dump.
Yeah.
The fans didn't always support the team as well as they should have.
I mean, gosh.
They went to big games, but you would watch some of those games that weren't quite as important. That place was empty.
Yeah, if it wasn't Florida State in town, there'd be 20,000 people in that cavernous stadium.
So, you know, I don't blame Miami at all for wanting to move to Dolphin Stadium. There's going to be upgrades to that somewhere in the tune of $300 million worth of upgrades to Dolphin Stadium.
High definition video boards and all kinds of stuff. I mean, you actually can go and get a 21st century football experience there.
So, and it's going to help with recruiting. The fan experience is going to be much better. The players are going to have better locker room. It's just going to be great. You know, some of the players have been politically correct. They've said, oh, it's going to be tough leaving the Orange Bowl. And we're not going to be able to run out with the smoke, but turns out they are going to run out with smoke still. It's just going to be running out of Dolphin Stadium.
So. Well, it won't be the Orange Bowl on fire either. I mean, come on, let's face it.
was bound to happen at some point.
They
don't
even play the Orange Bowl there anymore, and they still call it the Orange Bowl. What is the deal here?
It was great. We had somebody on our blog. I'm imagining a lot of people don't realize this. Somebody on our blog said, well, what are they going to do with the Orange Bowl game? And I made a comment back. They haven't played the Orange Bowl at the Orange Bowl in a number of years. They've been playing at Dolphin Stadium now for a while. So if they move the Orange Bowl, you know, it's time to do away with it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Now, the other thought, it's some people in Florida are happy about this because they're going to knock Orange Bowl down, and they're going to there's talk that maybe the Florida Marlins will build a new stadium there.
It'll never happen.
You don't think so?
And I don't think they'll need to knock the Orange Bowl down. I think
just fall down.
It's just a good gust comes up, it's going to go down.
Well, they have a good hurricane down there this year. Probably will take care of it. So you know, I can understand there's history there. I know Joe Namath, the guarantee, that was their Super Bowl III. And Doug Flutie, the pass, the miracle pass, that was there. That was Miami and Boston College before they were ever members of the ACC.
A long time before, yeah.
So, you know, I know there's history there, but you know what? Just keep those that history stored in your memory banks and watch it on TV. You know?
Yeah, put a marker up in a parking lot. I mean, that's what it's going to end up being.
So anyway, that's the Orange Bowl is – this is it. And apparently, Chris, I'm surprised you're not. You're the Virginia guy. Surprised you're not in line for this. The hot ticket is Miami and Virginia because that's the last game at the Orange Bowl.
Well, Virginia gets to make some history getting blown out by the Hurricanes in November. That's you know, I'm looking forward to that.
I don't know if they'll be blown out. Boston College, Chris, a little bit of trouble off the field and into a bar. Whenever you got college players in the bar, it can't be good.
Yeah.
It can't be good. But this actually story came up back in the summer, and it sort of got forgotten about. You know, it was like it came up, and then nobody talked about it. But now they've been charged. I'm looking here for the exact charges, but it's Gosser Sherilis, the Boston College co-captain, and DeJuan Tribble. They have been along with Sergeant Joseph, I guess, B-O-I-K-E, Boyke?
Yeah, sure.
They've all been charged with assault. Apparently, they went into a bar. Some people wouldn't clear the way for them. They beat them up. And that's what you do if you're a football player. They'll clear the way for you, beat them up. But that's the players are saying that not necessarily.
Well, and the attorney saying that they didn't intend to assault the guy.
They didn't mean to assault him.
Yeah, yeah.
They just sort of bumped into him and broke his neck, I guess.
That's what happens when football players just kind of nudge into you a little bit, right?
But the other thing is they're not being suspended. At this point, Coach Jags has said he's the innocent until proven guilty guy.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not going to be arraigned until, I think, October 1st, and they're going to plead not guilty at that point. So he's going to let him play.
We're going to have Randy Shannon on a little later talking about similar issues. Randy Shannon, these guys would already be buried under the Orange Bowl as far as he's concerned.
Women's and men's basketball schedules released. I haven't had a chance to really look at the men's schedule yet, Chris, but the women's schedule, here's what you're going to mark your date down. Sunday, November 11th, it's the State Farm Tip-Off Classic in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. The first game, it's okay. Arizona State at North Carolina. Mark this second game down. 5 p.m. tip, Maryland and Oklahoma.
That's
going to be a great game. That'll be on ESPN2. Somehow, North Carolina and Arizona State got on ESPN. Maryland and Oklahoma only get ESPN2. But it's a Sunday, so it'll probably be, I don't know, what's baseball? I don't know, not baseball in November. I don't know what's going on. What's ESPN doing on Sunday nights at 5 o'clock that they can't put Maryland and Oklahoma?
Yeah, because they don't have football on Sunday nights. Football's on Monday night for them now.
So that's the game. That's the big game in women's basketball, big non-conference game that I was pointing to. But the men have also, and if you go to accnation.com, you can check out the schedules, everything there. It's linked. We'll take a break, Chris. We'll come back, and we'll do our first preview. We'll do Georgia Tech or Miami next.
Let's do one of them.
I'll do one of them. It'll be a surprise. Come back and find out.
Be a part of ACC Nation at myspace.com/ACC Nation. This is ACC Nation with Patrick and Chris.
Football season is just around the corner, and Student Bookstore in Charlottesville has all the UVA gear you need to show your support for the team. Check out our great selection of Cavalier tees, shorts, sweatshirts, tailgating supplies, and more. Go Hoos, and go to Student Bookstore on University Avenue on the corner and online at studentbook.com.
The ACC's hottest blog on accnation.com. This is ACC Nation with Patrick and Chris.
Still to come on the show, we'll preview Georgia Tech football. Also, Chris, the Sound and the Fury and much, much more. But right now, it's time to continue with our previews, and we've got University of Miami that we want to talk about. And Miami's one of those programs, Chris. Four schools have new head coaches. Miami's one of them. But he's sort of new and he's sort of not new. He's been in Miami for a long time. He's now taking over as head coach.
Pretty much forever he's been there.
It seems like it.
He's lived in Miami.
He was a player for the Hurricanes.
He played there, assistant coach. Even when he went to the NFL, he's with the Miami Dolphins.
So he's there. He's taking over for Larry Coker. And the Miami fans are hoping that he can build this team back up, get them back to a level where they were when they came into the ACC. When they came in, everybody thought, oh, good. Now Florida State has somebody that can compete with them. Well, no, both of those programs fell down and somebody else took over. But Miami thinks they can get back to the top of the ACC. Now, when you think of Miami, Chris, you think of swagger. Think of swagger?
You know, the word swagger really applies to them and not many other people.
Yeah, you think of swagger. So we had a chance to talk to Calais Campbell, defensive end, the outstanding defensive end for the Hurricanes, and asked him about Miami and can they get that swagger back.
I feel like people don't really see the swagger, but it's still definitely there. I think you know, our swagger is we know we work harder than everybody else. We know we're going to be more prepared than everybody else. And there's no doubt in my mind when the game's on the line, we know we have the athletes and the people to get the job done. And I think that swagger is definitely still there. And I think that having a chip on our shoulder and having something to prove, you know, people are going to be scared of us because we got talent. And I mean, there's talent all across the board, but I mean, people know we work harder. They see, like, when they see us across the sideline, jumping around and seeing us, like, you know, looking good, I mean, it's intimidating, you know. And if we go out there and play the way we know we can, we set the tempo from day one, from the first play, you know, every play and so on. I mean, I think that teams don't get scared of us if they're not scared now.
Now, Calais Campbell, strong opinions on the swagger issue, as we heard there. Randy Shannon's got some strong opinions, too. Now, of course, we mentioned he played at Miami. He's been a coach there. Now he's the head coach at Miami. And he's not buying into this talk about swagger, as you can tell from his rather pointed observations.
No, it was confidence. We were just confident that no matter who we play, we can win, we can beat anybody, no matter what the score was. It wasn't a swagger. And I think that's the thing that we're instilling in this team at Miami now is that you're going to respect your opponent, but you're going to have confidence that you're going to beat them. And it ain't no swagger. I mean, everybody get caught up in this swagger. I don't never know what swagger is, to be honest with you. I mean, when I was a player there, I lost four games. My 4 years I played. Okay. It wasn't that I walk out and danced and did all this. It was just we was confident that we was going to win. We played Michigan at Michigan. Was down by 15 points, 6 minutes left to go. We won the game. And if that's swagger, well, I guess you can call it swagger.
Okay, so Randy Shannon, not big on swagger, but at the end there, he did concede. If you want to call it swagger, call it swagger.
It was a concession of choice by anything else.
But here's the big thing I think that Randy Shannon has done at Miami. We've seen stories about this. We talked to the players about it. Randy Shannon is starting to make the players accountable. That seems like a simple thing. Don't you think most coaches should do that? But apparently it's been a problem at Miami. And Randy Shannon is going to bring back accountability for all their players. We had a chance to talk to offensive lineman Derek Morris about this. What he's expecting out of the coach, if he feels confident with Randy Shannon sort of taking over that program and instilling all these sort of new rules and making everybody accountable.
You feel very comfortable with Coach Shannon. Mm-hmm. You feel very confident with Coach Shannon. You know he's making our team way better by the means of just the discipline that he's bringing to the team, by the presence that he brings, you know, the respect that everybody has for him. Everybody just is working hard. Nobody's messing up. That's what's making it exciting, and everybody's working hard, and everybody's very confident. And, you know, we use accountability. Everybody's accountable for themselves, for their teammates. And, you know, during spring runs, we have shirts, different shirts for every day with different words, respect, accountability, confidence, you know. And just doing little stuff like that, you sit down, you break it down those words and what they mean, and it really hits home. And that goes with everything you do, you know, being accountable in the classroom. You know, when you're running a drill, you don't jump off sides. You come to a meeting, you're not late. You're going to class. You're not talking on your cell phones. Everything that you do is just is you know, acting like you should and being grown. And I think that's what a lot of our guys grew up a lot this semester.
It's weird. Shannon, again, we talked about Randy Shannon. He's coming into this job, having been an assistant coach. He was a defensive coordinator last year under Larry Coker. And so it's hard for him to set down new rules, you would think. I mean, theoretically, because he's part of the old regime. But he, you know, he didn't really go out and criticize Larry Coker in his comments, but he sort of did about the accountability issue once again. So we had to ask Randy Shannon about accountability in the program.
The more thing than anything, we want to hold the guys accountable for everything that they do. You know, and give them understanding why they're going to be held accountable for it. And if once you get guys held accountable for everything that they're doing, you're going to have success. Because if a guy knows that at 12 midnight, if my coach get his phone call because I'm out DUI with a DUI charge, I'm not going to play. I doubt if he'll have a DUI. And if he does have it, and he knows that he's going to be suspended for the next game. Not if you get caught with a DUI Thursday, well, it's the following week. No, it's that Saturday's game. And I think the players understand that, and they are taking advantage and understanding that they're going to protect each other. Because I tell everybody, we need everybody to win games, no matter who it is. And players have taken upon themselves to make sure everybody's doing all the right things.
Now, Chris, we've gotten over all the swagger stuff and the accountability stuff. Let's actually talk about what we're going to see on the field this year. Randy Shannon, he's a defensive guy. That's what he's known for, his defense. So the obvious question to him was, what's your offense going to look like?
It's going to be more of what University of Miami offense and defense is. And it's going to be more if we're going to have matchups to get our best players on their worst players. And we're going to try to neutralize their best players. If we got a stud defensive end that we may have trouble with, we're going to put a tight end, motion him over there, release him to make sure that defensive end hesitate a little bit. Or we may go chip the defensive end a couple of times in his ribs. After a while, he don't like to get chipped no more. It's going to slow down his pass rush. If we got a corner over there that's a stud, we may put our worst receiver over there and let him be the decoy the whole game and go out to put our best receiver on their worst guy. But those are things that we're going to do on offense to get matchups to where we can move the ball and score points.
It's obvious, Chris. He wants to score more points than the opposition.
And that's what coaches tend to say.
Didn't Al Groh say something like that, too?
Yeah, they're kindred spirits there, really.
So, anyway, it'll be interesting to watch this team. Like we said, he's a defensive guy. What's his offense going to look like? But from every player we've heard, we've talked to, we've seen comments from, they've bought into Randy Shannon.
Well, he's
they like what he's doing.
And he's an intense guy. We were down there. We saw him. We sat right beside him. You know, he's not a big guy. He played linebacker. He doesn't look like a linebacker anymore. He's more safety size now. But, boy, I wouldn't want to get in a tussle with him.
Now, here, you know, I don't know if he's going to bring them back this year. He's not going to bring them back all the way this year. I think Miami will be better than they were last year. But there will be room for improvement after this season. But I think, and there was questions, Randy Shannon, is he the right guy to take over this program? Once he got the job, some people were, you know, a little upset. They didn't go out and get a big name. But I think he is the right guy. And I think you will see Miami get back to, and I don't know if you'll ever see them get back to where the level they were at one point, just because the ACC is so competitive, top to number 11. And we always got to get that swipe.
Got to get Duke,
right?
Yeah.
I don't know if Miami will ever be a team that just rules the ACC, but I think he will get them back to a level where they can go to a good bowl every year and where, you know, every few years they'll be in the talk for a national championship.
I have them as a major player this year. I'm a little worried now that Kyle Wright, we're having questions about his health. He was injured last week. He didn't play in the scrimmage this week. So I'm worried about that, but I still think they're going to be a major player this year. In the future, with the move from the Orange Bowl to Dolphin Stadium, they're going to be Miami again. With Randy Shannon as coach and the move to Dolphin Stadium, they're going to be a big player.
Chris, you mentioned Kyle Wright. Guess what? Next segment. There's a lot of quarterback battles going on in the ACC. There's at least five teams right now that have had quarterback issues this summer or still have quarterback issues. Next up, we'll discuss those programs and see, hey, have they made a decision or when are they going to make a decision or what the heck's going on? Keep it here to ACC Nation.
Win the shirt off Chris's back. Challenge the ACC Trivia Grandmaster at accnation.com. This is ACC Nation with Patrick and Chris.
This program is supported by Shenandoah Valley Regional Airport, who believes travel should be without heavy traffic and long lines. SHD now flies direct to Dulles and beyond. More information at flyshd.com.
This is ACC Nation with Patrick and Chris.
Chris, the story throughout the summer has been quarterback battles, at least at four or five of the ACC schools, and some of them have yet to make an official announcement. So we thought it'd be interesting to talk to some of the writers that cover these teams and see exactly what the status is and what their thoughts are. Let's start with Clemson, and we've got our friend Pete Yannity, the voice of the Tigers, with us right now. And Pete, everybody, I think, pretty much has thought that Colin Harper was going to be the starter. But Willie Korn, I've seen stories that Willie Korn has closed the gap and he's making up ground. First of all, who do you think will start that first game against Florida State?
I think when all is said and done, it'll be Colin Harper. And the other day after their scrimmage, which wrapped up their preseason camp, Tommy Bowden basically said, you know, Harper's still number one, and, you know, I've always started the number one. So, he basically said, we've got some practice left before the opener, but that hasn't changed that Harper's number one. So they did have Colin Harper fake an injury during the scrimmage, and he and Bowden and maybe one or two others were the only ones in on it. So Korn had to scramble in there and actually work with the first team, and Korn really thought that Harper was injured on the sideline, and then he looks over there, and Harper's walking around smiling, and Willie knew that the joke had been played.
So, Pete, why is Coach Bowden, even though he's got a clear number one, it seems like, why is he just not making it official?
You know, maybe it is as much to do with keeping Florida State guessing. The way he commented on it the other day is just kind of his style. He'll often just kind of say some things bluntly and then won't elaborate. Just having been around him for 9 years now, the way he said it, it's similar to other ways he's made comments before.
And the last thing before we let you go, Tommy Bowden told us in Pinehurst at football kickoff that he would consider using two quarterbacks this season. It's something he hadn't really done while he's been at Clemson, but Florida State did it while he was there. Do you think we'll see Willie Korn on the field for any significant amount of time this season?
I really do. I'll be surprised if you don't. I don't think he's going to be redshirted. They do realize he's probably their best number two right now. I think it won't surprise me at all if in the Florida State game, as long as it's just your basic, you know, kind of thing and nothing major has happened or, you know, they are, you know, Clemson's not looking up at a 21-0 deficit after the first, you know, 4 minutes because of a bunch of turnovers or whatever. I could see them kind of, you know, bring Korn in for a couple of meaningful series or a meaningful series in the opening half at some point. But I think Harper will be the 1A for now. And frankly, you know, after the Florida State game, that's the thing. Everyone looks at the Florida State game, but you've got games against two teams that Clemson will be favored to beat, Louisiana Monroe and Furman, and those could be prime opportunities for Korn to see a lot of playing time if things go the way they should. So really not so much the Florida State game, but I think you'll see him a bunch by mid-September, those second and third games.
Well, Pete, we appreciate your time very much.
All right, guys. Great talking to you.
Thanks a lot. Pete Yannity, the voice of the Tigers. Now let's talk some Florida State football, and this has been a question for the last few years. This is nothing different at Florida State. Drew Weatherford, Xavier Lee, which one's going to be the starter? And with us now from the Orlando Sentinel, Andrew Carter. We got to say this first of all. This is Andrew's first appearance. We love Emily Badger, but she's now off gallivanting around Europe. So Andrew, welcome, welcome to the nation.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate you guys having me, and I know I have a lot to live up to. Guys, being such big fans of Emily, so
yes, we're huge fans of Emily's. But you know, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt to start with here. Now we are taping this on Thursday afternoon. There will probably be an official announcement later on this evening. But give us just your thought right now: how the battle has gone this summer, and who do you think will be starting once that Clemson game gets underway?
Well, I think all indications have been that it's going to be Drew Weatherford. You know, he's probably, just based on the numbers alone, he probably has outperformed Xavier this preseason. I think he's thrown for maybe a couple hundred more yards. He's thrown for more touchdowns. I think he has thrown a couple more interceptions in the scrimmages than Xavier. But those are off tip balls during the last one. But overall, I think Drew has kind of grasped the offense a little bit better than Xavier has so far. The coaches seem to be a little bit more pleased with him. I think they feel at this point he's probably the safer choice, given that he has probably, you know, he obviously has a lot more starting experience than Xavier does. But I don't think it's going to be one of those situations where, you know, they name him the starter perhaps later on today, and then they stick with this guy throughout the season. I think Xavier's still going to get his chances and his opportunities to do well. I think, you know, depending on how things go in the Clemson game, I think they might even want to get him in there in that game just to see how he does. And certainly I think you'll probably see him, see Xavier in the UAB game, you know, since that in all likelihood should be a lopsided game, FSU hopes. So I think you'll see a little bit of Xavier Lee here in the early going, and it's definitely not over. I think this thing is going to keep on going throughout the season, and we're going to keep on hearing more and more about, you know, which one's better, which guy should get the nod. You know, I don't think they've completely made up their mind at this point.
Given that their skill sets are so different, that could be difficult, I think, to incorporate both guys. Is that going to be an issue for Florida State this year? You know, Lee more athletic, Weatherford more that drop-back pocket passer.
Yeah, I think so. You're right. They are two very different players, of course. But I think that's kind of intriguing for Jimbo. You know, he likes the opportunity to utilize all the skill sets that he has available. That was one of his strengths, players say, and coaches, other coaches at LSU and his previous stops, that he was able to get the most out of, you know, different guys' talents. And I think that even if Drew is the guy in the early going, he might try to find a way to get Xavier on the field in a certain capacity. But they are kind of different guys. You know, Drew obviously is more comfortable in the pocket. Xavier likes to kind of get out and operate outside the pocket and run around a little bit more. Xavier obviously is a great athlete. He's one of the best athletes on the team. And I think the coaches feel almost like maybe, you know, he's too good of an athlete to sit the bench. I think it's just going to be really interesting to see how he's utilized because, you know, Xavier stuck around for one reason. That was to get more playing time and get more of an opportunity this year. He didn't feel like he was utilized properly under Jeff Bowden and the previous offensive regime. And he stuck around once Jimbo came in because he thought that Jimbo would really utilize him to the best of his ability. And so I think we're going to see some different things this year, even if Drew is the guy most of the time.
Well, Andrew, you have passed the test. I'll tell you what, we'll get you back on this fall and talk some more Florida State football, okay?
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Andrew Carter of the Orlando Sentinel. Okay, let's talk some Maryland football now. And this, Chris, I've been saying it all along, this was an interesting battle because they went into the spring with two quarterbacks, and they came out of the spring with three quarterbacks vying for the starting job. All summer, there's been that whole thing, three quarterbacks, who's going to get the job. Let's bring in Heather Dennis now of the Baltimore Sun. She covers the Terps. And Heather, when is Ralph going to finally make a decision? I think we all pretty much know it's going to be Jordan Steffi, but when's he going to make that announcement?
You know, I think he does it just to torture us, but he very well, the last thing he said, he might do it the day before the game, which would be, you know, August, what, 31st, right before the Villanova game. I'm hoping he says it today, and I'm sure there are a lot of other people, you know, like Jordan Steffi and Josh Portis, who kind of want to know for sure, too, even though all indications point it is Jordan Steffi.
Does it actually hurt the team that he hasn't named somebody yet? Because I know when you name your starter, that guy gets the majority, if not, you know, the bulk of the first team snaps. That allows for them to, you know, to develop a rapport. Is it going to hurt the team that he's waiting so long?
Well, I don't think so, only because Jordan told us that he has been getting the majority of reps with the first team, which is why it's so confusing, you know, because some people say, well, maybe he just wants to make it more competitive or, you know, he's playing mind games, this, that, or the other thing. But Jordan Steffi's not taking debate on that because he said even last year when it was between him and Sam Hollenbach, they were sharing some of the reps. And I don't think it's been that evenly divided or split between Steffi and Portis. So I'm not sure what the reasoning is there. But, you know, Steffi said after the last scrimmage that he hasn't been given any indication otherwise than that he's the guy.
Does Chris Turner factor into this at all? I mean, do you think we'll see him at all this season?
You know, my gut feeling is, and this is just my theory, I mean, this is not going on sources or anything like that, is that Ralph is keeping it even and keeping everybody even because he's already lost two quarterbacks. Jeremy Ricker's transferred. Bobby Sheehan just transferred a week or two ago. He's down to four. And, you know, I don't think he can afford to lose another guy, so the competition's even. And, you know, that's what he's been saying, but you know, I find it hard to believe that there's not enough disparity to separate Josh Portis, a Florida transfer, who's clearly the fastest kid on the team, one of the more athletic quarterbacks that's been in Ralph's system, if not the most athletic quarterback, you know, and a guy like Chris Turner, who's good, but it was just a different type of quarterback there. Do you understand what I'm saying?
With Jordan and Josh, then, do you think we'll see them then both sort of throughout the year, or do you think he's going to say Jordan's the guy and as long as he doesn't screw up anything, he'll be the guy?
You know, that's what I think. You know, I think back in his head and in his heart, I think Ralph believes that Jordan has earned that shot. You know, he was on the sidelines. He knows the offense probably better than anybody on the team, I would think, you know, given all the experience that he's had and learning and working with Sam Hollenbach last year. Every time he talks about Josh, there's always just some little thing that he's not doing right, whether it's technique, footwork, timing, that kind of thing. He's just not, you know, on par with where Jordan is in terms of learning the offense, with what Ralph has been saying this whole time. But at the same time, Ralph says, I'm not afraid to use two quarterbacks.
That'll be
so I don't know, you know, in the same breath. He's kind of leaving it a mystery, but my gut feeling says that Jordan Steffi will start and it's his job to lose.
It'll be interesting to watch. Heather, we appreciate your time very much, and we welcome you into the nation. We'll get you back on this fall and talk some Maryland football.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Heather Dennich of the Baltimore Sun on her way now, because we're taping this on Thursday, and she's on her way now to College Park. So it's sort of like the whole Florida State thing. They could name it this afternoon, but it's anybody's guess.
We have good timing, almost.
And Chris, one more school that's having a quarterback battle, North Carolina State, with a brand new head coach down there, Tom O'Brien. And let's bring in J.C. Zimble. part of the, he's with the Wolfpacker.com, that is part of the Rivals Network. And JC, what is your indication? Daniel Evans was the starter last year. I think a lot of people assumed he would be the starter this year, but Tom O'Brien has said, no, that's not the case. It's an open battle between Daniel, Harrison Beck, and Justin Burke. What's the latest indication from Raleigh?
I think that Evans will probably end up being the starter because he'll be the safe choice. He has experience, and unlike starting with younger quarterbacks who have never played extensively before, they're going to hope that Evans will minimize mistakes.
I've been asking this question all afternoon. Is any of the three getting more reps than the other guys? I mean, that would be one indication of who might be the front runner, at least.
Practices and scrimmages have been closed to the media.
Not surprising with Tom O'Brien, right?
No, not surprising at all. But, you know, from the statistics that they've given out from the first two scrimmages, they've tried to give all three quarterbacks equal chance. Now, Evans' statistics have been very, very solid, very vanilla. You know, he's had the least interceptions out of the three. He's had a very good completion percentage. But you can tell that, you know, I'm guessing a lot of his passes are probably dink and dunks and not a lot of big play, you know, 50-yard strikes.
Now, this is a question I've been asking all afternoon. You got three quarterbacks battling for that starting position. Do you think Tom O'Brien is a guy who will rotate those three or at least two of those throughout the season, or do you think that when he finally names a starter, it's that guy's job and it's his job to lose?
It will be his job to lose. He's Coach O'Brien is of the mold where you have two quarterbacks and you don't have one. I'm guessing that he's going to give the starting quarterback at least through the first three games. You know, if the quarterbacks struggle against, say, Wofford, then you have the right probably to bench him. But I'm going to guess that whoever he names as a starter, they're going to have to really play themselves out of the job.
Well, check it out again, thewolfpacker.com. It's part of the Rivals Network at J.C. Zimble. We appreciate your time very much. We'll talk to you again later in the fall.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. And there you go, Chris. Four programs that have quarterback battles. The other one, Miami, that was interesting because of the injury to Kyle Wright. It was already an open job, I think, from all indications from Randy Shannon.
Randy
Shannon,
open job. Like some of these other guys, he has a number one and a number two, and it appeared that Kyle Wright was his number one, but he had not announced a starter. So, yeah, that was open already.
Then he got hurt.
And Kyle Wright, yeah. Kirby
Freeman played the end of last season.
Yeah.
So people started saying, well, he got some experience last year. You know, Kyle's hurt. Maybe Kirby will be the – I think it's like – well, I don't know. I personally think that you'll see both of those quarterbacks at times throughout the year. And you know, any of these programs, if they start struggling, the quarterback starts struggling, the coach could make a quarterback change. That's just the way it goes. But
I'll say this, particularly with the Miami and Florida State quarterbacking jobs, I think both are similar, those battles. I think you have a clear number one in both cases, Kyle Wright at Miami, Drew Weatherford at Florida State. If you see the other guy, things ain't going good for the team, much less for the player.
That's again, we want to thank all of our guests, and let's put my memory to the test here, Chris. Pete Yannity, the voice of the Tigers, talking Clemson football. Heather Dinich of the Baltimore Sun, talking about the Maryland Terps. Andrew Carter from the Orlando Sentinel. And J.C. Zimble from thewolfpacker.com. Did I get them all?
Got them all.
We appreciate all the time from all of them. We'll take a break and be back after this on The Nation.
Click the chick for all your ACC Nation goodies at accnation.com. This is ACC Nation with Patrick and Chris.
Football season is just around the corner, and Student Bookstore in Charlottesville has all the UVA gear you need to show your support for the team. Check out our great selection of Cavalier tees, shorts, sweatshirts, tailgating supplies, and more. Go Hoos, and go to Student Bookstore on University Avenue on the corner and online at studentbook.com.
The ACC's hottest blog on accnation.com. This is ACC Nation with Patrick and Chris.
Time now, Chris, for our second preview of the day. And we will stick in the Coastal Division. Georgia Tech, who they surprised some people last year. I think they surprised me by getting to the championship game, losing to Wake Forest. And that, wow, what an offensive game! What explosions offensively? What was it, 9-6?
9-6, you know, pretty much like an English soccer game.
But Georgia Tech's built on defense. I mean, everybody knows Georgia Tech's a defensive team first, even though they had Calvin Johnson last year. This year, if you look at this Georgia Tech team, you know, I think the big knock on them offensively last year and for the last 4 years, Reggie Ball. Reggie Ball just never won his way into the hearts of the fans or the media or anybody except apparently the coaching staff. They've got a new quarterback this year, Taylor Bennett, who actually started the bowl game last year to finish the season. He will be the starter this year. No quarterback battle at Georgia Tech. We asked star running back Tashard Choice about Taylor Bennett and his thoughts on his new quarterback.
Really good. You know, he's a quarterback, student of the game. He understands the offense, understands where everybody needs to be. So we're really confident in him in that Gator Bowl. Just really put another you know, thing on his belt as far as him having experience coming into this year and going through his first year as a starter as a quarterback at Georgia Tech.
So now we've heard from Tashard Choice on the quarterback situation there. He likes the guy who's going to be handing the ball off a lot, apparently. There is the question mark there, though. I mean, Taylor Bennett wasn't going to have to beat Reggie Ball. And so now, you know, he's being handed the ball. Of course, you mentioned, Patrick, the Gator Bowl. Last year, he threw for 3 touchdowns, led him to 35 points. They had a big lead that they blew in the end. But he did what he was supposed to do. Now, we have to ask Chan Gailey, and I asked this question of Chan Gailey at the football kickoff. Is it good? You know, he got a new quarterback, but he's got a game under his belt, and it was a bowl game against a national power like West Virginia. Is that a good situation to go into?
Sure it is. Anytime you can give a guy some repetitions and some experience, it's better. And the fact that he had some good things happen gave a lot of people confidence. He gave me confidence, gave himself confidence, gave the team confidence, fans confidence. Everybody got a little bit more confident with him.
Okay, so everybody has confidence in the quarterback, but now the question is, who's he going to throw it to? You don't have the big name from last year. You don't have Calvin Johnson. He's off playing for the Detroit Lions. So we asked Chan Gailey about his receivers.
Pretty interesting. James Johnson played pretty well last year. Had a couple of drops toward the end of the season at a couple of critical times, but I think he's a very good receiver. Greg Smith is a guy that played some last year, did some nice things. A young man that nobody knows anything about, a kid named Bebe Thomas, that's going to be a really good player, I think, before it's over with. Big kid, 6'3", 225. And we got another redshirt freshman named Corey Earls that can fly. He doesn't know how to play receiver as well yet as he needs to, but he can really run. So it's going to be an interesting group. The great thing is, I can tell Taylor Bennett, you don't have to try to get it to anybody. Take what they give you, and that'll be good for him.
Talked about Taylor Bennett. You know, it seems like everybody's feeling good there. The receiver core he'll be able to get the ball to a different group of receivers, not Calvin Johnson, but he's got some people to throw the ball to. Now we wanted to get Chan Gailey's thoughts on Tashard Choice, a star running back, a transfer from Oklahoma, if I remember from back in the days when Adrian Peterson was a star running back there. Tashard Choice has been a star in his own right the last couple of years at Georgia Tech. You know, Chan Gailey's got a long coaching record in college and pro ranks. He coached Emmitt Smith for a couple of years in Dallas. So we wanted to ask Coach Gailey to compare Tashard Choice to some of the people he's used to in the past.
He has the eyes and the feel for running like Emmitt does. That's who he has, a feel as good as Emmitt did about where he should go. He's got a different style than Emmitt, but the vision and the feel for the hole and the blocking schemes are more like Emmitt's.
Chris, let me just say, if you're being compared to Emmitt Smith, that's not bad. That's not bad. It might add a lot of pressure though to Shard Choice. But it's interesting to hear Gailey, who was around Emmitt Smith, compare his running back now is he a Hall of Famer now? Has he been inducted yet?
I think he has been. No, he has not been yet because he hasn't been retired long enough yet. But
he will be. He will be. Yeah, he's one of the best that I've seen in my lifetime. But let's go to the other side of the ball now, Chris, with Georgia Tech. They're known for their defense. Everybody talks about this defense. Here's what Chan Gailey had to say about his defense.
Well, our defensive line is as rich in experience and depth as we've ever had. I mean, you take and the tackles, Darryl Richard and Vance Walker, and defensive ends, Adam Oliver and Darryl Robertson, that's the starting four, and they've all played and played well at times. Lots of minutes on the field out of that crew. Michael Johnson is a defensive end, big kid that had a couple big sacks against Maryland last year, that is really a tremendous athlete. Robert Hall's a true sophomore. We had a kid named Derek Morgan that came in at defensive end. I got a kid named Elvis Aniabi that is a really good player inside. It's put on about 15 pounds in all season. So our defensive line is the best that we've had in a while. Linebacker, Philip Wheeler, everybody knows about. Gary Guyton, not very many people know about. And he'll be the guy at the end of the season. Everybody will say, where'd he come from? He is that good of an athlete. And he's a very good player. I don't know who'll play the other side right now. That one's yet to be determined, so to speak. But Shane Bowen and A.T. Barnes will be the ones that are trying to win that spot. Secondary, we got great seniors at safety. Got three seniors at safety. D.J. Jones, Jamal Lewis was all-conference player last year. And then Joe Gaston was a senior to be last year that tore up his knee in spring practice, and he's coming back this year. At corner, we got Jahi Ward-Daniel and Avery Roberson will be the two corners, and we got some backup guys there that have got a chance to help us, Dominic Reese and Pat Clark. So we've got a good nucleus coming back on defense. I think we've got a chance to have a very strong – if everybody stays, if we get them all eligible this summer, which is always a big if at Georgia Tech, and if we keep them healthy, we got a chance to have the best defense we've had since I've been at Tech.
Not a bad defense. We can at least say that. I mean, it's going to be the strength of that team, I think. It's going to, you know, the offense will do enough. The defense will carry that team, but they have to carry this team. They're going into a tough place. They have a game at Notre Dame, start the season with. You know, you're not starting the season off with Sisters of the Poor, Samford, whoever else they usually start with. We asked Coach Gailey, now, what do you think about this? Would you rather start off with a couple of easy games leading into it, or would you rather have your team's attention starting off with a game like Notre Dame?
Yes, no question, because it helps you get your team's focus in the offseason. If they're in midseason, if they're a great team in midseason, and you start off with three games that are kind of nondescript games, then you can't. It's hard to get your team's, you know, full attention. But when you're starting with one like Notre Dame, it gets your team's full attention from about May 3rd on.
He's got the full attention of his team, Chris, and I think he's got the full attention of the fans and of the ACC. The ACC, we've talked about this in the past, Chris, they need respect, and they're going to get that by winning some big non-conference games. Georgia Tech could get them started off on the right foot by beating Notre Dame. Notre Dame is not the Notre Dame of even the last couple of years. They're still Notre Dame. And if Georgia Tech can beat them, it's going to be huge for the conference. So it'll be interesting to see that game. And it's great for us. It's opening weekend. That's what you want to see, some great games on opening weekend.
That's right.
You look at the rest of this Georgia Tech team, though, Chris. Everybody's, you know, lamenting the fact that Calvin Johnson's gone. But they've got some receivers that maybe can't – there's not an individual that can be as good as Calvin Johnson, but collectively – I think this group of receivers might be better than last year's group of receivers.
Oh, if you're trying to find one person to replace Calvin Johnson, right, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
They only made one of them in the last 30 years.
But you've got a good group of receivers. You've got Tashard Choice back there, who's going to have a very good year. I like Taylor Bennett. I like this offense. We already know the defense is going to be good. I like Georgia Tech. I think that you have them third, I have them second, but I think we both agree things break right, they could be right there and maybe even push Virginia Tech.
Oh yeah, I only put them third because I think highly of Miami. I don't think lowly at all of this Georgia Tech team. And I do agree that if things break right, they beat Virginia Tech in Blacksburg last year. They could contend for that division title.
Chris, we are through 10 of the previews. We have two more left.
It only feels like we started it 6 months ago.
Next week, Clemson and Florida State leading into their huge game on Monday night, Labor Day. And then that'll be it. After next week's show, Chris, we'll actually have games to talk about.
That's a novel concept.
So if you missed any of our previews, make sure you check out accnation.com. You can listen to the podcast. You can read stories. We've got previews of all the teams on there as well. Again, go to accnation.com. We'll take a break and be back with The Sound and the Fury next.
This is ACC Nation with Patrick and Chris.
University of Virginia basketball has moved across the street, but U-Haul lore lives on. Mad About You, 4 decades of basketball at University Hall, an inside look at UVA basketball. More information at madaboutyou.net. Madaboutyou.net. Get your copy today.
And now, the Sound and Fury.
Yeah, quick reminder, Chris, two things. First of all, go to accnation.com and fill out the survey. There's a listener survey there on the left-hand side of the page. Just really, we want to find out more about you and sort of fine-tune the show so we can make it better for you. I bet you one of the things people will put is they talk too much about massages and Hannah Montana.
That's probably that's what I'm going to put.
And I'll probably ignore that. Anyway, so fill that out. And also, if you want to subscribe to our newsletter, it's absolutely free. Go to accnation.com. You can put your email in there. You'll get it every Friday in your email box. It'll have stories from accnation.com. It'll have a link to the podcast, and it's all free. So go to accnation.com. Check that out. Time now, Chris, for the Sound and the Fury. And quickly, we talked about the quarterbacks earlier in the show. If all these battles, the five teams that have battles, if you had to pick one quarterback that you thought might really just sort of jump out of the pack, stand out this year, take the job by the throat, and just, you know,
choke
run
it,
with it.
Throw it to the ground.
I say run with it. Yeah. And I say that's mixed metaphors. But yeah. Who would it be?
Drew Weatherford. Easily. I think he's
easily.
I think he can be a contender.
Even though he's the much maligned Drew Weatherford.
I think with Jimbo Fisher as his mentor now, he'll be the first team All-ACC quarterback at the end of the season. He'll surpass Matt Ryan.
So, wow. That's a
bold statement
right there.
Write that down, people.
I'm impressed. No way. I'm going with Cullen Harper. I think Cullen Harper, I don't think he's going to be outstanding. I'm not going to say he's going to be first team all ACC, but I think he will get that job and he will be very good. He has two great running backs behind him, and I think he'll keep the job all year and he'll lead Clemson to 6-6 record.
Which
is what I predicted.
He'll be number two quarterback by game 4.
Or 7-5. I predicted him one of those mediocre records. But yeah, I like Cullen Harper.
He'll be holding a clipboard by game 4.
Yeah. Willie Korn will see the field just occasionally in mop-up duty.
By game 7, he'll be giving the dummy signals.
No, I don't think so.
He won't be giving real signals. He'll be giving the dummy signals.
I love calling. You know who else I think might step up? Jordan Steffi. Jordan Steffi is a decent quarterback.
He's extremely decent, yes.
And I don't think any of the state quarterbacks are going to be any good at all.
No.
I'll just go on record as saying all three of them will stink. So
I'm agreeing with you there. There's no question about that.
That's it, Chris. Let's thank all of our guests again. Heather Dinich, rhymes with spinach. Pete Yannity, Andrew Carter, and J.C. Zimble. Also, we previewed Miami and Georgia Tech. And next week, Clemson and Florida State. We will preview. That's the Bowden Bowl. You can also check out a story on the Bowden Bowl at accnation.com. Make sure you visit that. And I guess that's it. Have a good weekend, everybody.
This is ACC Nation. The nation's hottest multimedia sports franchise, ACC Nation, where you'll find worldwide access to America's hottest sports conference, the ACC, through our website, www.accnation.com, blogs, podcasts, radio, and at myspace.com/ACC Nation. ACC Nation is a production of Communications of Virginia, LLC. All rights reserved. I am the Evil Q. Ta-ta.
ACCNation.com, your one-stop shop for everything ACC. Breaking news, columns, polls, links to what's making news, and the latest from Patrick and Chris. It's the place to be, everything ACC. ACCNation.com, ACCNation.com.